Well, there's no doubt about the Elite Series and the momentum it's gaining, but I can tell you that recently, when you ever have a comeback victory, that's the coolest thing. And in front of a large crowd on top of that, Mike McClellan, you got to come back from a couple of places down to win the event at Clarks Hill, and it had to be fun for you.
You know, Terry, there is absolutely no doubt about that. The last couple of events I've won, I've actually led kind of from almost start to finish. So to put myself in a position to come from behind, especially almost a 6-pound deficit, was pretty dadgum awesome in my mindset.
Well, and I want to talk about the technique because, it's just absolutely a cool technique and how you were able to adjust to the ability for these fish to bite. But you're taking a big, heavy jig, weighs as much as, a brick, and you're throwing it out in a very shallow area, a foot or so of water with some rock and stuff. But it was like you had to change up all the time. What made you do that?
The biggest thing, and I'm not going to sit here and deny it or tell you that I went over there and figured the jig deal out all out on my own. It was quite apparent from what Davey Height did to us last year over there that, hey, these fish like a jig on Clark's Hill. Last year I was clueless to the jig deal. I went over there with the anticipation of catching them on a spinnerbait, a topwater. Now, I did catch fish on a jig, but it was in a different area of the lake. I went way up the river one day, and I was actually catching fish that were garden fry around laydown swimming a jig. So, I knew there was a jig bite on the lake in some portions, but I'd never imagined you could throw a half-ounce jig out on a bare point that you literally could see, think you could see everything out there and, catch 4-pounders on a pretty regular occasion.
Well, it's not just any jig, it's a Jewel jig, and you've made, Jewel Bait Company pretty famous over the last few years. it seems like everything you do runs in twos, but you win a couple events, and then, it just everything happens that way for you, Mike. And you were adjusting. You were throwing it out and working the jig a little bit, but then you also dead-sticked it, as you told me earlier.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing that made the week pretty trying all week, and that's really probably what happened to me on the third day when I did fall a little bit, was I really started trying to search a little bit more, and I caught a limit, fairly early, so it freed me up a little bit to, let's go look for some new water, let's try some new tactics. And I tried a lot of new tactics, I tried a lot of new water, but when it came right down to it, when I finally got myself back in the correct zone, the depth, the correct, clay points with the rock mixed into them, and I started going back through the presentations again that were working for me, that's when I started, finally catching fish again late the third day. And like you said, there was basically 3 or 4 presentations almost. You mentioned the half-ounce jig, with the jig was the fact that you had to have a bait that you could make long casts with. So that's the reason I opted for the half-ounce. Wasn't necessarily that, it did anything different, but it just gave me the ability to make a long cast. Finding the right structure was key, but, I was making super long casts with this jig. Very seldomly would I ever work that jig more than 10 or 12 feet before I would wind it in and cast it again. And basically what I was doing was using 3 presentations. I would throw the jig out, and you remember when we used to topwater fish years ago, and I can remember to this day my uncle telling me, when you throw that topwater bait out, you let every ring on the water settle before
mm-hmm.
you move it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what I was doing with this jig. I would throw it out on these long casts. It hit the water kaploosh, big old splash. There wasn't anything finesse or, trying to be quiet about this deal. Let all the rings settle, and I really feel like it almost was pulling these fish from wherever they were at. I think there was times you landed close to them, but I think a lot of times they hear the splash, they see the commotion, and they come over to investigate. I'd let that jig lay there, and, rather than making a big first move with it, I'd just pick the slack up in my line and almost shake it in place. And a lot of the bites actually happened before I ever moved it anywhere. These fish would come to that jig, and whenever you started shaking it and just started to move it, that's when they would get it.
The differentiator, I think, in the weekend angler and a pro is exactly what you're talking about, to be able to recognize, hey, this is the way they're wanting it, this is the way I have to adjust, and then as the day progresses, being able to adjust even more, that's why you guys are pros, man. That's why you do it the way you do it.
There is a lot of truth to that, and a good friend of mine, a guide on Table Rock Lake, Bill Beck, is a guy that I fish with a lot. When I'm struggling with my fishing abilities or I just don't feel like I'm fishing up to my total strength, I call Bill and I say, let's go fishing. Let's just go out and have some fun. And, one thing Bill always brings to mind with me, especially if he catches one or two before I do, is he'll turn around and look at me and say, buddy, he said, there's a difference in casting out and reeling in and really fishing. And that's what it took at Clarks Hill. You know, if you would have just got out there and thrown up there on those points and drug your jig in, I don't think you would have got a lot of bites. I mean, when I would drag that half-ounce steel jig up to a rock, you know, I would sit there and shake it on that rock once I got it to it. And if I didn't get a bite shaking it, you know, then I might hop it or snap it off the rock. And a lot of times you would trigger a bite then. I think, you know, sometimes those fish get in the state where they're interested, but, you know, well, it's just laying there. And, man, if you would snap that jig off a rock, then they would attack it. So it was one of those weeks or 4 or 5 day periods where one style or one technique of fishing that jig wouldn't get a bite every cast. You had to change up through the course of the day, and every day was a little bit different for me. The key to it, more than anything, was slowing down and making sure you were fishing that thing. You couldn't just be casting it out and reeling it in.
Well, you mentioned, you know, it was a half-ounce jig, but it was also a football head, which allowed you to fish it through those fist-size or bigger rocks. What I think sometimes people miss is that the proper jig, weight-wise, is important. The color, of course, peanut butter and jelly, which is very important. But then also the head shape was all equally important.
Oh, absolutely. We have fished, you know, so many different style jigs through the course of 15, 20 years that I've tournament fished. You know, the football jig is a jig that has been around for a long time, but it kind of lost its zest or its zealous there for a few years. I guess the biggest thing was football jigs in the older days, we didn't have good weed guards on them. You know, a lot of the older football jigs had a wire weed guard, or a lot of them had no weed guard. So it wasn't a bait that it was fine for fishing rock and gravel, but it was never a bait that you put in a laydown or around a piece of cover. Well, now that Jewel has designed this new football jig, you know, the new age football jig with the same type weed guard that we use in a flipping jig, you know, a little lighter, but the same type weed guard, and the Shaughnessy Bend Mustad hook that they put in that thing is, you know, it's a tremendous hook. There's just no doubt about it. The Shaughnessy Bend probably is the biggest key to me liking that way it hooks fish up than anything. You know, a lot of the jigs have the big wide gap round bend in them, but when you stick a fish on that Jewel jig, I mean, they're yours. I think through the course of the week at Clarks Hill, I lost 3 fish. I lost them all the last day, and there wasn't one of them that would have even helped my stringer through the course of the day. So, you know, that opted with the way that bait's designed is just tremendous stuff.
Well, you can start using this term if you want to, but those were pest fish.
Do what now?
Those, you can use this term on the trail if you like. Those were pest fish.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were a pest. They, you know, you don't want those fish. We want 4-pounders, 5-pounders. We don't want these little 1-pounders now.
Exactly. And that's what it amounted to. You know, I was fortunate that good Lord blessed me, and all the ones that I needed came in the boat. And, you know, some of them weren't hooked just great. You know, the first day and the second day, the fish really ate the bait well. They would have it down in the roof of their mouth. It would be, you know, pretty well when you got them to the boat, you couldn't even see the jig. By the end of the week, they were getting a little bit more finicky, and a lot of the fish would be stuck on the outer part of the mouth. And you know, you'd be winding them in, they'd jump, and you could see that jig, you know, hanging out of their mouth. And I was pretty fortunate in the fact that I got most of them to the boat all of them to the boat that I needed.
Well, no doubt about it. Also, that paycheck's nice, you know, to be able to get that first-place paycheck. But, you know, the Elite Series has really taken off, Mike. And, you know, as a kid, I'm sure you didn't think about being on the cover of every magazine in the country and, you know, being on ESPN and all that kind of stuff. That's got to be neat for you as well.
You know, it really is, Terry. I mean, growing up, and I grew up in Missouri, in the southern part of Missouri, outside Branson on Table Rock Lake. So, you know, Table Rock Lake was one of those lakes that was really a featured lake when most tournament circuits first formulated and started traveling around the country. But whenever you went to one of those tournaments, you know, the excitement level was there while the tournament was in town, but, you know, that's really all there was to it. You know, you saw the professionals. You know, I can remember when Denny Brower first, you know, showed up, Rick Klun, and, you know, some guys that some people probably would not even, you know, recognize their names anymore. But, you know, you had the Stacey Kings and the, you know, John Torians and Tommy Martins, you know, all showing up there in town, and it was exciting, but really that was all you saw. You know, my uncle did have Bassmasters magazine, and, you know, occasionally you would see the cover of one of those. But to know where fishing has gone now, the fact that, you know, you show up on the cover of a magazine when you win a tournament, or the next Saturday you're going to be on ESPN2, that was something I never fathomed. You know, it just wasn't a reality at that point, you know, point in time when I was growing up.
Well, I tell you what, couldn't be a better champion, Mike. You've done, you know, a fantastic job. You just keep raising the bar, and I got to think Gail Julian down there at Jewel Bait Company is pretty happy with what you've seen you do and those kind of things. I appreciate you being with me here at Bass Fan Radio.
Terry, it's been a great opportunity to be here. I'm always here, man. I love to talk fishing, and you just shout at me anytime you want to get me on.
Well, I tell you what, we're gonna hit you up for a feature. We do a thing called Bass Fan Radio Today, which is a daily deal, and I'm gonna have you co-host it with me, and we're gonna pick your brain about a jig. That's what we're gonna do.
I'm all for it, man. There's nothing more that I like to talk about than a good jig at this point in time.
Well, no doubt about it, in particular when it wins a bunch of money for you. Thanks for being with us, Mike.
Appreciate it, Terry.
I'm Terry Brown. This has been Bass Fan Radio.